views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking to you today from windy Seattle here on Friday the 13th. You may be listening somewhere here in the Seattle area on KKNW AM 1150. You might be listening somewhere in New York, Connecticut, or Rhode Island on AM 1230 WBLQ, somewhere across the United States on cable radio network, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But wherever you're listening from today, you want to stay tuned because we've got a powerhouse of a show for you and some exciting things coming up. But before I get into that, I need to say hello to my better half here in the studio who allows you to hear these wonderful conversations, Mr. Benny Mathers. Hi, Benny.
Hi there, and good day. And yeah, I guess we had to batten down the hatches since last night, right? It's been kind of a whirlwind out here in the Seattle area for weather-related.
It's been so windy. And, you know, I live essentially in a forest, even though it is suburbia. It's still a forest. And it almost sounds like a train's coming through sometimes. And I just sort of bless the trees for, you know, protecting each other and protecting my house.
I love everyone around me as you speak to the trees.
Yes, exactly.
I love all you. Please stay up.
Yeah, and there are all sorts of horror stories of trees coming down. Yeah. But it's interesting. My current property has more trees than my old property did. And it almost feels safer to me. It's like it's almost like as a group, they are more protective than
security in numbers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know.
It works in humans and with trees.
Yeah. And I tend to trust in general, but
and you
it
talk
is
to
a
them.
Little intense.
And you talk to them. That's all that matters.
Of course, yes.
But we have a superstar here.
We
and
do.
And we talk to him
too.
Now.
Yes. And I was so grateful to have seen him down at Celebrate Your Life along with a whole bunch of other wonderful people. You know, it was sort of spur of the moment for me. I ended up going down to see some friends down there and to see this amazing conference. And it was one of these things where synchronicities were abounding left and right, and I made some wonderful connections. My intellectual, my heart tanks both were filled up after going to this conference, and it was so great. And I got to see Greg down there, and the Greg I'm talking about is Greg Braden.
Not just any Greg.
Not just any Greg, no. They're our guest today.
Yes.
He is an author of many, many books, and he's a New York Times bestselling author of The Turning Point, The God Code, Fractal Time, and The Divine Matrix. He is the 2015 Templeton Award nominee. He's internationally renowned. He's a pioneer in bridging science with ancient and indigenous knowledge to create real-world solutions for today. He's had successful careers in the energy and defense industries. He became the first technical operations manager for Cisco Systems in 1991. But for the past three decades, Greg has explored remote monasteries, high mountain villages, and forgotten texts so that he can take a look at that wisdom and connect it with the science of our time. He has shared his discoveries in front of so many people, not just at places like Celebrate Your Life, but at the United Nations, Fortune 500 companies, the U.S. military, which I love, mainstream universities, and, of course, audiences throughout the world. I'm so grateful to welcome today Greg Braden. Hi, Greg.
Christine, it is such an honor to be on your program. I'm thrilled to be with you. Benny, thank you for all the work you're doing as well, both in front and behind the scenes, so we can have this program today. And I don't know, my sense is that our time is going to go by very quickly here because there's so much I know that we want to talk about today.
I know. And you know, Greg, I really appreciate the fact that just like me, you've got a scientific background and then you went into the realm of consciousness and spirituality. Mm. But one of the things that's so unique about you is you have chosen to create a bridge between science and spirituality. Why is that important to do today?
I think it is important, Christine. I'm just going to back up about a half a step with where we're going with this. My history, my background, I was born and raised in a very conservative community in northern Missouri.
Uh-huh.
And science and spirituality, those were two topics that we simply didn't talk about very much. You know, people weren't talking about it at the breakfast table or at the dinner table.
And, right.
It's not that it wasn't important. Excuse me. Just people weren't talking about it. And because they didn't, I made an assumption as a child that I did not find was not true until I was an adult in the corporations.
Uh-huh.
And my assumption was that when we study things like chemistry and geology and biology and physics, those little compartments that we put our science into, what we're really doing is studying little pieces of a greater intelligence,
mm-hmm.
little pieces of a greater spirit, or little pieces of God. And I assumed, I didn't make this distinction between science and spirituality,
okay.
And I assumed that everyone else thought the same way I did until I was in the corporations.
Right.
And I was given an ultimatum. And it was actually, it was interesting because the ultimatum came to me, it sounded almost biblical in the way it was given to me. And they said, Greg, you cannot serve two masters. That was what I was told.
Uh-huh.
You must choose between science or spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And my response, I was in the defense industry at the time.
Right.
During the last years of the Cold War, and you know, one of the most frightening times in the history of our nation, for those that remember, the longest undeclared war in the history of our nation. And my sense has always been, Christine, if we know where to look in the past, and if we know how to look into the past, that we will find the clues from our history that help us not just survive, but to transcend the great challenges of our time, including conflict that we find ourselves in today and that we did in the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
So my response was, you know, it is the separation of science from spirituality that has led us into many of the crises that,
right.
that threaten our very existence and our way of life. What happens if we don't separate them? What if we marry these two great ways of knowing, 5,000 years of spiritual understanding, not
mm-hmm.
religion. I'm going to make a distinction here.
Right.
Not about the religions that wrap the rules around these deeper truths. It is the deeper truths that our ancestors understood about us, our relationship to our own bodies, to the earth, to one another, to our past, to the cosmos. What if we take that 5,000 years of human wisdom, and we marry that with the best science of the 21st century? Science is only about 300 years now, 300 years old. Where would that lead us? And my sense is that when we marry these two great ways of knowing into a single wisdom that is more than spirituality can be all by itself, as good
right.
as it is,
right.
it doesn't have all the answers. And it's more than science by itself, as good mm-hmm. as science is. Science is incomplete, doesn't have all the answers. But
right.
you marry these together, maybe, just maybe it gives us the evolutionary edge that our ancestors did not have. And for the first time in human history, not only do we survive, but we transcend. We become better people. Uh-huh. We create a better world in the presence of the changes that we're facing today. And that was my question when I was asked to make this choice between science and spirituality. And I made the choice to leave the corporation and explore this path full time, and I'm closer to the answer, and I'm still a student
uh-huh.
of discovering just what the answer to that question might mean and where it may lead.
Right.
So
and
it's
kind
of a long answer to a short question, but I think it's important to kind of lay that foundation, because I'm going to tie into that through the rest of our conversation today.
And I do believe that synergy between science and spirituality is one of the exciting things about the times we're living in right now. But tell me, what's your perspective on the state of the world right now?
Well, that's, you know, a great place to begin. If our listeners, if you're listening to this, I'm just going to speak to you directly. If you're listening to this program right now, listeners, I know that you know. Certainly no ordinary time in the history of our nation, of any nation, because I know many nations are listening to this program. It's no ordinary time in the history of our civilization, of our world, and it's not our imagination. The best minds of our time are telling us right now that we're living what is is being called a time of extremes. Now, it doesn't mean that only bad things are happening, or even only good things for that matter. What it means is big, big things are happening, big changes in the world. And because we can no longer separate our everyday lives from what's happening halfway around the world, maybe we thought we could in the past, mm-hmm. but we certainly know we can't do that now. That means big changes in the world are creating big changes in our lives. So I think it's fair to say, Christine, that to answer your question, our world is changing in ways that we have never seen. So we do not have a good blueprint, a good roadmap to help us know how to navigate these changes. And our lives are changing very, very quickly, and I'm just going to say it's in ways that we're not used to. I'm not going to say it's right, wrong, good, or bad.
So give us some examples.
That we're not used to. Well, and it's happening faster than we have been prepared to accept. And I think those three ideas are very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
There are examples. First, I just want to back up about another half of the step. You know, people used to believe that we could separate what's happening in our living rooms and in our families from what's happening on the other side of the world. And I think one place that people have seen that this simply is not true is when it comes to economies. And while economies can be about money, they don't have to be. Economies are about people, mm-hmm. about us and the way we share the things that are important to us, vital resources of food, energy, water, medicine, aid when we need it. And we used to think we could separate those things, and now people are finding all of a sudden something happens in the Asian or the European markets, and all of a sudden it affects our retirement. It affects the way we're saving for our children's future, for their education.
Right.
It affects our 401ks and you know, the way we're thinking. It affects our jobs. It affects industries in this country, and that's an example of how we can no longer separate the big world out there from our everyday lives.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I find so interesting in my lifetime, I've had the opportunity to meet just some amazing people. I've met the president. I have met spiritual leaders, religious leaders, political leaders, social architects, indigenous elders from throughout the world. And every one of them, Christine, that I've met over the last 30 years, they all have told me that they knew a time of tremendous change was on the horizon within mm-hmm. our lifetimes. They all knew it was coming. And now that we're experiencing it, every one of them that I've spoken with now is absolutely blown away by how quickly this shift is sweeping the earth
uh-huh.
and changing our lives. Even the people that knew that were expecting it are amazed at how quickly everything is changing. So if they're amazed, I can only imagine what people who had no idea that a change was on the horizon,
right,
feeling like the rug has been pulled out from underneath them. And the way that we used to think, the way that we used to solve our problems, and the way that we used to plan for our future, all of that's changing. So the bottom line to all this that we're saying is, now, perhaps more than any time in the past, we've got to think and live differently than we have in the past to reflect the realities of our changing world. That is where I believe that this marriage of modern science and ancient wisdom gives us viable solutions to know what to do in our lives, what to do in our world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the science, you asked me about the science. In the New Thought and the spiritual community, a lot of they're kind of the choir. You know,
a lot of
things we're talking about, New Thought people, the spiritual community has been talking about it, you know, since the 70s at least. And I think that's good, and I think that's important, and we love the choir. And for the kind of change that we're talking about right now, we have to reach so far beyond the choir,
yes,
into mainstream. And the way that I have found to do that is we must have a language that is trusted and respected
mm-hmm.
in mainstream. And when I go to the UN, when I speak with the U.S. military, when I speak to those Fortune 500 companies, they need to have something very real that they can prove to themselves. And this is where I think the language of science really plays such a vital role, because the science is describing in modern terms what so many of those spiritual traditions have talked about in the past.
Right. We need to go to a quick break, but more with Greg Braden when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is a complete approach to wellness. Serenity Bliss offers integrated therapies for whole body health, from facials to massage, from laser skin treatments to herbal wellness, from chiropractic care to energy healing. We work with teens who want to put their best face forward, adults of all ages who want to maintain that youthful glow, and anyone who wants to enjoy vibrant well-being head to toe. Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is bringing the European approach to restoring natural beauty and wellness here to the Seattle area. Located on the east side, off the beaten path, yet just minutes from the freeway. If you'd like to experience the joy of relaxation, skincare excellence, and total wellness, then come experience your Serenity Bliss. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. That's SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. Or call 206-229-0086.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I love, that, Benny, that you've got a sense of humor. That's great music.
Thank you.
We are talking today to the amazing Greg Braden. And I have to tell you, folks who are listening in the Seattle area, Greg's going to be here. And we've got some tickets to give away later in the show, so stay tuned. You know, Greg, you're talking about the fast-paced change that is going on in the world and how it's affecting us in our personal lives. How do we handle this? How do we deal with the change in a way that not only we can thrive, but also help the world to shift in a positive way?
Wow, that's a great question, and it is a passion of mine to be able to answer this kind of question. It's a multifaceted question, and it all boils down to one word, and that word is resilience.
Oh, I like that.
Our resilience to change. And as I have studied resilience, our most recent book, it's called Resilience from the Heart, mm-hmm. The Power to Thrive in Life's Extremes. It is a reflection of both the science and the indigenous wisdom when it comes to adapting to change in our lives. So when we talk about resilience, it happens on two different levels. As I mentioned, personal resilience. I'm going to talk about that here for a few moments. Mm-hmm. But it's also about the family and community resilience, and that's something that's often left out of these conversations in the New Thought and the spiritual communities. So if we have time, I can touch on those as well. But the personal resilience. When I wanted to understand what it takes for a human to embrace change and to be able to do so in a healthy way, this is the key. We all go through change.
Yep. Whether we're like dragging our heels or not.
Well, exactly. Can we embrace change in a healthy way? And and to answer that question, I'm trained as a scientist. I'm an earth scientist. And my first thought was, why not visit people in places in the world that have had to do precisely that, that have had to endure tremendous change in a brief period of time and find out what worked for them. And I began with the indigenous population. And for me, in the 1990s, for example, this is just one example, but the central plateau of China, the Tibetan plateau, was very accessible to me. And I spent time with the monks and the nuns and the abbots in 12 monasteries and 2 nunneries over the course of about 15 years. And of the many things that I saw there, many of them were living to advanced ages, well over 115, 120 years old. And we had the
papers
to document it. And they don't look that old. I mean, their skin color's good, their eyes are bright, you know, they're healthy. And I said, well, what is it that these people are doing? And when we had the opportunity to talk to all of them, and then we took what we found with these people and we compared it with other populations that I've spent time with in the Andes Mountains of Peru and Bolivia and the monks in the mountains of Egypt, the bottom line was that all of them attributed their longevity to heart-centered experiences.
Mm.
Their love for their families, the feeling that they were needed by their communities. And that led into the science of what it is that is happening in the heart. And I just want to say this briefly. I'm going to talk about this in a program in Seattle. You know, we were all taught that the heart is essentially a pump in our bodies, and that's the way we've been led to think about our hearts.
Sure.
And we all know, certainly, our heart does pump, and it does so very, very well. 1932 at Harvard University, there was a presentation that was made to the medical students that was the pivot point in modern medicine. Medicine could have gone one or two ways when it comes to the heart. A man named Brimmer, who was on the faculty and the staff of Harvard University, so this is some pretty heavy-duty stuff.
Sure.
He presented a film where he showed the blood moving through the embryo of a chicken before the embryo was very far along in its development.
Uh-huh.
They chose a chicken because it's separate from the mother. So whatever's happening is independent from the mother.
Wouldn't
be the same if it was a human. So here's the thing. The blood is moving through the embryo, but the embryo is so young, the heart has not yet developed. So the question is, if the blood's moving, but the heart's not there to pump it, once the heart develops and it aids that pumping, what else is it that our hearts actually do? In other words, while the heart pumps, that may not be the primary purpose. We can build a machine to pump the blood. What else does the heart do? And that led to another study that was actually released in 1991. And this, we have a very visual program in Seattle, so I'm going to share a lot of the films that go with this. But in 1991, Christine, there was discovery of about 40,000 specialized cells in the human heart that look a lot like brain cells.
Wow.
They can think independently from the brain in our head. These cells in our heart, they can feel independently. They can remember independently. And you know, there have always been anecdotal stories of heart transplants where the memory of the person who lost their lives and is now their heart is being placed into the body of a recipient, how their personal memories are actually carried in their hearts. And it's always been kind of an anecdotal series of stories until these cells were discovered. So,
like food cravings or remembering somebody's name. I mean, there are some fascinating stories about that.
It goes so far. Yes, food cravings, remember someone's name, even sexual preferences of the person who lost their lives. And as their heart now is placed in the recipient begins to take on those characteristics.
Right.
And doctors, they've known this since the 60s. They didn't know why. And we now know that this concentration of brain-like cells, they're called sensory neurites, about 40,000 of them form a network in the heart that is actually called the little brain in the heart. So I don't want to get really technical. We'll just call it the little brain in the heart. This little brain in the heart has the ability. It can function independently of the brain and our head, as I mentioned. However, when we learn to harmonize the brain and the heart with the brain and the head, when we can tune our heart and our brain together, that's where the action is. That opens the door to what have been considered mystical and extraordinary states in the past, that my feeling is they are probably ordinary states that we simply have lost in our culture and in our society. So I'm talking about things like deep states of intuition that happen when we want them to, not waiting around for these, you know, these mystical insights to strike and then they disappear.
Sure.
Direct access to the subconscious. If you want to change programs that are not healthy in your life, you have to speak to your body in a language that your body understands.
Right.
And it's not verbal. It's through these kinds of states. And even if you're not into any of that, this connection of the heart and the brain together, they trigger a cascade of over 1,300 positive biochemical reactions in the body, including a super immune response, including the trigger of anti-aging hormones, the new study of the anti-aging hormones, and this relationship to the heart-brain connection. It all comes from this connection, and to come full circle with this conversation, it also gives us resilience to change. Resilience to change begins in the human heart, and actually the way the heart is beating. So when we see a paper printout, for example, of our heartbeat, and we see the spike and then a couple little squigglies and then a spike and a couple little squigglies, the time from one spike to the next varies with each heartbeat.
Uh-huh.
And when we're young, it varies a lot. It's called heart rate variability, HRV.
Sure.
And that variability gives us resilience to a changing world. As we get older, we're set in our ways, rigid in our thinking.
Uh-huh.
We lose some of that heart rate variability, and change becomes more difficult unless we're able to go back and tune our heart and our brain. You can do this at any age.
And that's the big question that I'm dying to find out about, Greg. How do we get that brain-heart coherence that you're talking about? And how do we move forward in a way that brings communities together and shifts the world? We're going to have more in a few moments with Greg Braden.
What does it mean to be healthy? For each of us, it means something a little different. Discover the art of herbal medicine, a natural way to help our bodies respond better to the modern-day stress and toxicity of our everyday lives. Using organic herbs from around the world, the skilled herbalists at Urban Wellness in Kirkland can help you choose the herbs that are right for your body. Find your herbal solutions for common health issues at urbanwellness.com. That's H-E-R-B-A-N wellness.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Pat. Have you ever noticed that this reality doesn't actually work in a way that helps you thrive? I'm thrilled to announce that one of my good friends and colleagues, Dr. Glenna Rice, is bringing the incredible world of Access Consciousness to Seattle this December. You can register and learn more for the course that's coming up on December 4th by visiting drglennaevents.com. And when you're there, you're also going to find another event coming up in January that Gary Douglas is doing himself. So register now and wonder no more.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
A shift is happening. Join Lynn Brown, host of Get Into It, for a workshop that will open you up to your full potential. Sunday, November 22nd, 1 to 3 p.m. at the Maya Whole Health Center in Renton. Lynn will show you how to see and feel auras, try out your own intuitive abilities, and participate in deep healing meditation to create ease during this time. To learn more and register, email lynn@ruintuit.com. That's letter R, letter U, intuit.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with the wonderful Greg Braden. And Greg, you know, you talk about this resilience that comes from this connection between the brain and the heart. How does a person in their personal lives get this kind of coherence between the two?
Well, so you're using a word we haven't defined yet.
Oops.
You're a half a step ahead of us here. So I just want to acknowledge that last segment, we covered a lot of ground, and I was intentionally speaking quickly. I wanted to really lay that foundation. So now we can talk about exactly the practical applications that you're asking about right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a beautiful example of where this marriage of science and spirituality really becomes apparent.
Uh-huh.
Because with science, at its very best, science can only tell us about how things work. That's what science is designed to do.
Sure.
It gives us the nuts and bolts. It cannot always tell us how to apply that knowledge in our lives. And my experience is that is where the wisdom of those who have come before us really comes in. So for 5,000 plus years, we say civilization began right around 5,000, 5,500 years ago, and we find references to the kinds of things that we're talking about right now in those most ancient traditions. It's not science. It's not scientific language, and they didn't use peer-reviewed double-blind studies.
Right, right.
But they knew about us, our bodies, our relationship to the earth, and rather than trying to prove whether or not something was true or not, as mm-hmm. science often does, what they did was they dedicated their time to discovering how to apply those principles in their lives. So science can tell us what works and what doesn't.
Right.
So we can stop doing, you know, the things that no longer work. Once we find out what works, we can look to our ancestors and see how did they apply this wisdom in their everyday lives to make life better for themselves and their families and their communities.
Uh-huh.
So this is where the heart-brain connection really becomes apparent, because almost universally, ancient texts and traditions talk about in the spiritual traditions, and later the religions actually began talking about the same thing, this heart-brain connection. What we know right now, the science tells us, is that every moment of every day, this moment right now, our heart and our brain are having a conversation. It's a two-way conversation. Our heart is sending information to the brain, and brain sending information back to the heart.
Uh-huh. And that this is really counter to what scientists once upon a time thought. They thought the brain ruled, right?
Well, they are still teaching in modern medical school. I have friends teaching medicine, and I have friends who are in school learning uh-huh. medicine. And what I'm saying to our audience right now, although it is in peer-reviewed science, journal Neurocardiology, for example, is uh-huh. where some of these first things were published, it is yet to be embraced in mainstream education. So the classrooms, the textbooks, the documentaries, they all tell us that the brain is the master organ in the body. And while it's true, the brain releases the chemistry into the body, what's incomplete is that it is the signal from the heart that tells the brain what to release. And it's all based in the way that we feel about ourselves and our relationship to the world. So this optimum communication between the heart and the brain can electrically, and the optimum communication is a very low frequency, 0.1 hertz.
Okay.
So if we can feel the feelings that create 0.1 hertz, we are tuning our heart and our brain, beginning to optimize that conversation. And that optimal conversation is called coherence. So we talk about heart-brain coherence, mm-hmm. optimum heart-brain coherence. We're talking about having the experiences that allow us to harmonize our heart and our brain so that there's this 0.1 hertz signal frequency going between the heart and the brain. How we do that,
mm-hmm.
this is where it gets really interesting, because when I'm in Tibet, they have one way they taught us to do it. The uh-huh. native traditions of the desert southwest have another way. The Andean shamanistic traditions in the Mayan land, they uh-huh. have their way, and science has their way. And all of those components we've woven together into something really easy, very practical, a series of protocols that help us to accomplish this in our everyday lives. And I think it's really important. It's not to replace any other practice that we have. Uh-huh. It is, everything goes better with coherence. When we are in a coherent state, before we pray, for example, if that is what we do, or before we meditate, if that's what we do, or before we do yoga, before we do martial arts, or before we do our personal affirmations, all of those things are more effective when we are in this state of coherence. And this mm-hmm. is what we're going to talk about and experience in the Seattle program at the Center for Spiritual Living, I think is where it is.
Yes, it is. And in fact, it is, it is November 20th and 21st. And it's, we're going to have two tickets to give away in a little while, but more about that later. And you can go to spiritualliving.org in order to purchase tickets.
Well, Christine, this is what I'd like to say at this point, that what we're talking about is one example. It's one facet of this immense shift that is occurring in the sciences today.
Mm-hmm.
Science, as we mentioned, is only about 300 years old. And for 300 years, we, any of our listeners, if you're listening to this program and you were educated in the West in public schools in the last 300 years, we mm-hmm. have been steeped in a scientific story about us and our relationship to our bodies,
right.
to the earth, to the past, to the future, and the way nature works. We've been steeped in a story based in separation.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a fundamental shift that is happening. There is a fundamental shift happening right now, because the best science of the 21st century has overturned 300 years of scientific thinking, and our new story now is based in connection.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most poignant examples of this is when it comes to the ideas of Charles Darwin. The mid-1850s, 1859, he released his book, The Origin of Species,
right.
by Means of Natural Selection.
Uh-huh.
So people say to me, I just did this in a classroom recently, and they said, okay, Greg, you know, I'm just going to paraphrase these young people. They said, okay, cool. So Darwin wrote this book, 1859. This is the 21st century, so what?
Uh-huh.
You know, what difference could it possibly make today? And it's a really good question. And they are amazed when I share the answer. But here's the key, is Darwin released his book in the late 1800s. It is precisely the time when the foundation of our modern Western society was being put into place.
Uh-huh.
And because he was a scientist, his ideas were embraced quickly. They weren't really questioned
mm-hmm.
in a deep sense. And his ideas, he told us that nature is based in this model, survival of the strongest. And
right.
that, those are his exact words. Survival of the fittest mm-hmm. came along later. His words in the book, Survival of the Strongest,
uh-huh.
that nature is based upon this model of scarcity, struggle,
yes.
competition, and conflict. That idea, those ideas, are so deeply entrenched into our society today. Our economic
yes.
system that's collapsing
mm-hmm.
is based on these ideas. Corporate systems are based on these ideas. The way we solve problems between nations, between communities, or even in the privacy of our own home, between our loved ones, their most intimate relationships, when we get backed into a corner and we say those things that we wish we hadn't of 20 seconds later,
uh-huh.
that comes from this primal subconscious sense of survival of the strongest, that we've got to this competition, this conflict. The best science of our our time now is telling us nature is based upon a model of cooperation,
yes,
not competition. A model of what biologists call mutual aid. That's where everyone benefits.
Uh-huh.
It's not about struggle. And even people in the spiritual and New Thought community, they say, okay, yeah, I know that. What they find is subconsciously these old patterns are so deep that they are playing a role, an unhealthy role.
Sure.
In the way they think of themselves, it comes up in their jobs and their careers, again, mm-hmm. their most intimate relationships, even with their health care decisions, because we've been taught that we are separate from our body, that we're
right.
separate from the earth, and that we are essentially powerless. So when we do this, the reason I'm saying all this, when we do our program, it's a very visual program that I'm going to be doing in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
We're going to go through all of the old ideas, the new ideas, and the science that tells us that these are not theories or hypotheses. These are scientific facts. And once we do that, then we can zero in on the portions that make sense to us. And this idea of resilience and connecting the heart and the brain is where I'm going to focus in this particular program. Other programs, we focus on other things.
Right. Right. And so, that's very exciting. If you're saying this is what we need for resilience in our lives, and this is what we need for shifting the world in a positive way, then what you're going to be teaching is really important.
It is, Christina. One of the reasons is we all know the world's changing, and we can't, I don't have a crystal ball. No uh-huh. one knows precisely what the world will bring to our doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot. I know people that go crazy trying to figure out and predict all of those things.
Right.
What we can do is we can empower ourselves with a form of resilience that actually makes sense in the presence of a changing world, so that whatever life brings to our doorstep, we are already prepared to deal with that change. We're not caught off guard. This is where the fear comes from. This is
mm-hmm.
where the struggle comes from when we're not prepared, and it begins with what is called spare capacity.
Uh-huh.
Spare capacity emotionally, psychologically, physically, and the ability to harmonize our heart and our brain is the first step. It's the foundation to creating that spare capacity in our lives.
Yeah. This is so exciting. And we're going to hear more from Greg in a few moments. And also when we return, we are going to be taking callers for tickets to give away. Stay tuned.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stressed? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you are ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns in certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com. Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm chatting today with Greg Braden, and Greg's going to be here in Seattle November 20th and 21st presenting this that we've been talking about and so much more. I'm really excited, and I know that my listeners are excited. If you live in the Seattle area, if you can get to the Seattle area that weekend and you're interested in tickets, Benny has the magic number that you can call. We're going to be taking the third caller.
Sounds like tickets. Yeah, sounds like a plan. It's 425-373-5527. Again, it's 425-373-5527 or toll-free 888-298-5569. One more time, 888-298-5569.
Thank you, Benny. And I'm sure the phone's going to start ringing here. You know, Greg, I know that you say that there are various approaches to get that that heart-brain coherence, and I know you're going to be teaching some here in Seattle. Is this something that we can do moment to moment in our daily lives, or is this something we have to set aside time for?
Well, that's a good question. Typically, throughout the day, our awareness is tuned to the world around us, as it should be.
Uh-huh.
You know, if we're driving down the freeway, we want our attention focused on the taillights of the car in front of us, and not so much necessarily on our inner world. So I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when we go to make these attunements, there is a shift that happens, and we have to be in a place that's conducive to that shift in terms of safety.
Right.
And that is part of what the techniques are all about. There are specific signals that we send to our body. These are emotional signals that create physiological change in our bodies. When we shift our awareness from the outer world into our heart center, that is, for people in the West, one of the hardest things to do. If you say, mm-hmm. if I invite an audience to move their awareness from their mind and their heart, people say, okay, I'm in my heart. And I say, well, how do you know you're really in your heart? Because what we found is in the West, we are so accustomed to being in our mind that we're still in our mind thinking about what it would be like to be in our heart, and we're in our mind thinking about it.
Exactly.
This is the value of spending time with indigenous people,
uh-huh.
because they have the same problems. And I ask them, I can ask the monks and the nuns and the shaman, how do you guys do this?
Uh-huh.
And this is something we don't get in the laboratory. So this is where this blending of science and ancient wisdom comes together. Because it's another human who, on a very practical level, has learned to embrace these abilities that we're born with.
Uh-huh.
But they've learned the protocols and the techniques to get us there. Whereas in the laboratory, they just say, do it. And sometimes you can't always do it mm-hmm. on demand in the laboratory.
Right.
So there is the time. And what we recommend, what scientists, the researchers have found, is if you can harmonize your heart and your brain first thing in the morning to start your day, certainly mm-hmm. last thing before you sleep at night. Can you imagine mm-hmm. going in to the regenerative state of sleep in this coherent state?
Yes.
Where your immune system is already strengthened, your anti-aging hormones are already enabled, they're already triggered. And what I'm going to say is we can do it anytime during the day. I've used these techniques when I was in the corporations, and I stepping into a boardroom mm-hmm. where I knew I was going to get hammered for an idea that wasn't popular.
Right, yeah.
It doesn't change the outcome. It changes my ability to be present and possibly listen, become a better listener because I'm not reacting
mm-hmm.
to or perceiving an attack for example. When you're in this space, you respond to the world, I think, in a healthier way.
Right. I think that you're actually, without pushing back, you're actually creating the potential for others to shift their perspectives.
Whereas if you're pushing them back, it
doesn't work.
You're exactly where I'm going, because I'm going to take this now quickly one step further. The Institute of Heart Math in Northern California is one of the, in my opinion, the premier research institution for studying heart-brain connection.
Uh-huh.
There are peer-reviewed science published in peer-reviewed journals. I don't know if you interviewed or had the opportunity to be with any of the people from HeartMath on this program.
No, I've met Roland before, but I have not had a chance to interview
him. Okay, so for our listeners, the word I'm saying is HeartMath. It's capital H-E-A-R-T, capital M-A-T-H, but it's all one word. You can go to heartmath.org. And the reason I'm saying this is because they've found that the resilience and the coherence that's created within our bodies is not always limited to our bodies. And there is a research project now, it's called GCI, Global Coherence Initiative, where monitors are stationed throughout the world to measure the influence of many people creating these experiences as individuals. When we do it, what we find is that the magnetic field in the human heart is the strongest magnetic field in our body.
I've seen imagery of that. It's fascinating.
Well, it is. It's coupled with the magnetic field of the Earth. And that means when people come together to create these shifts within our own bodies, we actually influence fields that are beyond our bodies. And the value of doing that is, in the presence of coherence, we are more cooperative, we're more willing to work together to solve our problems, we are less aggressive. And that is, there's a whole program we could do on that, but this is just to let our listeners know that when we are creating this heart-based experience for ourselves in our own lives, we're actually contributing to a greater good the more people that are doing this at specific times, and the science is really clear on this.
Yeah,
we actually shift the fundamental field that connects all life, the magnetic field of the Earth, and this is why U.S. military, of course, is very interested in this. This has never been done before. This research project is called the Global Coherence Initiative for Transparency. I'm going to say I'm on the steering committee of this program. I'm not a HeartMath employee. It's an independent author. I'm on the steering committee. I believe that this project has a great potential to tip the scale of balance in our favor when it comes to cooperation in difficult times. And I think it's worth exploring what that means and how we can apply that, because it brings us full circle. Right now, we're living this time of extremes. Everything we'd be talking about would be good at any time, but especially now, when the world is changing and our lives are changing in ways that we've never seen, these are tools that we were born with, that we're learning to embrace in our own lives to tip that scale of balance and healing and cooperation in our favor, so we can embrace this change in a really, really healthy way.
Right. And that's really exciting. Greg, we've just got a couple of minutes left.
I know.
What's your vision for the future?
Oh, you're going to save the easy question for last, right?
Yes.
I just want to say I'm an optimist.
Uh-huh.
I've never been more optimistic about our world, our nation, all nations. I'm also a realist. And I am very realistic about the kind of change we're asking ourselves to make. The kind of world that's possible, we all know is possible, is the result of change that is happening, systemic change within us and the way we think of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a lot of work. And I always come back. The prophet Khalil Gibran, in his book, The Prophet, made a statement about work. And my mom shared this with me in 1966. She gave me this book. And it's been a cornerstone of my life. Work, Khalil Gibran says, work is our love made visible.
Ooh,
so the amount of work that it takes to make this shift in the way we think and relate to the world, it is work. It is our love for ourselves, for one another, and for this earth made visible in a time when we are living this time of extremes. And I can't think of a more exciting time to be alive.
Yeah, and I'm so grateful that you're here and helping to steer this whole process, Greg. And I'm excited that you're going to be here in Seattle. I wanted to mention again, for our listeners who are in the Seattle area or plan on coming to the Seattle area, It's November 20th and 21st at the Center for Spiritual Living. And Greg, your website is gregbraden.com, right?
It is, and it's Greg with two G's because my mom named me a Greg and not a Gregory.
Okay. It's actually three G's, isn't it, Greg?
Well, three altogether. GREGGBRADEN.com.
Yeah. Oh, it's been a joy having you here, Greg. Thank you so much. I'm so looking forward to seeing you here in Seattle. Thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you so much, Benny. Thank you for your work as well, and I appreciate both of you tremendously. Take good care.
Thank you. And thanks for listening, everybody. I look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.